Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, come with me for a few moments back to the upper room. During those initial days and hours, and with them, get a sense of what was going on. The past week in Jerusalem had been God-awful for those disciples. Just God-awful. The triumph of Palm Sunday had very quickly spiraled downward, crashing into the opposition from the leaders of the city who really were frightened. They were fearful of a brutal crackdown by Roman authorities who never tolerated unrest or opposition. Too much enthusiasm for Jesus from the crowds was perceived to be very dangerous. So he had to be silenced, they thought. He had to be removed. And so the condemnation and the death. But a death like a violent criminal, it was a nightmare. They could never have expected or even imagined what would happen this past week. And now he was dead. The disciples and the chosen 12 were in shock. It was over. And just the nightmare lingered. Up early, the day after Passover Sabbath, a few women went to the grave just outside the city walls. It was a desperate effort to do something, anything. And then the shock, the sight of the stone rolled back. Mary Magdalene was appalled. She was aghast. She was frightened. She was angry. Was the fear and anger of the enemy so great that they even violated his grave? For God's sake. Just as our liturgy insisted that we stand in shock under the cross on Good Friday, and I always make a point of that whenever I'm part of a celebration on Good Friday. We need to stop and stand under the cross, not rush into preparation for Easter and clothes and, you know, menu and all kinds of. We need to stand there and allow the reality of the cross to touch our lives. We need to stand under the cross on Good Friday in order to recognize that there are things in our lives which we would change if we could, but we can't. And allow God's grace to touch us and to recognize that those things in our lives which we cannot change are precisely what God will use to make us holy. We do that in Good Friday. And the liturgy today wants us to come face to face with the empty tomb. To have met Jesus face to face immediately risked the false impression that they could just begin all over again. Pick life up as it always was. Take up where they left off. No, they had to have the sense of a total rupture that was over. The past was finished. The public ministry of teaching and healing, it was completed. It was over. And a new age was about to begin. Sure, Mary fled from the open tomb. Peter and John came running. Only later, would they realize that the separated head cloth had a special meaning. Only later would they realize that just as Moses, how many hundred years earlier, when meeting God face to face in the on Mount Sinai and in the tent of meeting would take off his head cloth and meet God face to face, become radiant, and then leaving the tent with head covered because it was just too bright for people to see. Only later would they understand that that head cloth rolled off to the side had profound meaning. That it signaled Jesus was alive in a new and glorious way, that he was now face to face with the Father. Gradually they would meet him as the story of Easter unfolded. Mary thinking initially he was the gardener, for heaven's sakes. And then he would suddenly appear in the upper room. He would take a bed of fish to say he really was alive. He would walk with disciples to Emmaus, no longer bound by time, limits of time or space. It was a new age in the history of the world. And the disciples then and now have gradually to become cognizant of what it all really meant. Angelic messengers, it was not Jesus. They were in the tomb because it was a new beginning. The sins of the world had been forgiven, ours included. Everyone was invited to enter the waters of baptism, going down into the death of Jesus and rising to his resurrection. Everyone was anointed, healed, strengthened, but anointed, Christed, so that we might all be part of that new age. Generation after generation, century after century, in every town and village, the resurrection has been celebrated, not as something that happened in the past, but as an ongoing reality in which we share. We also rise. We also live a new life in the next age, even now. And even in this frail world, still filled with heartache and suffering, the evening news, the morning paper, is filled with examples. But even now, in our love for neighbor, even enemies, we are proof that evil cannot win. God's love and God's justice are victorious. And if you go back to Palm Sunday a week ago, the palms on our walls are a reminder of that victory. That's what today is all about. New clothes, Easter ham, colored eggs, family gatherings, that's wonderful. But Christ rose. He's alive in our midst. He continues to change the world and invites us to be part of the process. And that's the joy of Easter. A blessed Easter to you all.